Would you clap your hands to the Lord this morning? Amen. Would you just exalt his name for a moment together? Amen. Come on, let's clap our hands to him for his blessings. Amen. For his grace. For his mercy. Amen. Amen. I feel, amen, such a sweet touch of his spirit in this house today. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I just want to say briefly, I know a lot of you ladies had a lot to do with yesterday for the housewarming we had for Sister Knowles. Thank y'all so much for helping out with that and making it just a special day. And we appreciate it so very much. I don't know. The only bad thing about living in Florida is they try to be healthy. And when I come up here, things just get a little tighter pretty quick. This jacket fit real good 2 weeks ago, and it's a little tight this morning. So if it splits, I'll just take it off and we'll keep going. Amen. It's all I can do at this point. I did not bring a backup. But and we had a great time of fellowship and food. Got to see a lot of old friends and meet some new ones as well. And just had a good day. Amen. Amen. I want to read one verse or a portion of scripture this morning, and I'll let you be seated. Amen. Psalms 103:8, if you have your Bibles. And then we'll read some out of the New Testament that most of you could quote pretty easily. But I just feel such an invitation from the Lord here this morning. Amen. That if there's something, amen, that you need before you leave this place today, don't let that invitation pass, that he's calling you, amen, to come and let him minister to your life. Amen. Amen. Psalms 103:8 says this: the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Both of those descriptions are a long way. You would have to go to space to see how high his mercy is for you. Can you say amen? You would have to start walking in one direction and never come back to the same point, because you can go east for as long as you can stand to walk and you'll never be going west. That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Matthew 5:7 says this: blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about making a place for mercy. Amen. Mercy and grace are similar in some ways, and they're very different in other ways. But most people think that mercy is almost one of the dispensations of time that God has given us to live in, and it's not. Now, I'm going to show you how I've taught home Bible studies. I can pop these off quick. There's been 5 dispensations of time that we're in so far. There's 2 that we have not gone through: innocence, conscience, patriarchs, law, and prophets. That's a chart in exploring God's word. Innocence was the garden. Conscience was the time of Abraham. Amen. Patriarchs was after that. Then we had the law and the prophets. We had Joseph and Isaac and all those. And then we went to Moses after Israel went to Egypt. And now what dispensation are we in? Grace. Right? We can just do whatever we want. Amen. At some churches that goes over real good. But grace is not a license to do whatever you want. Grace just postpones your judgment. That's all it does. You are still are going to be judged one day. And that's, some people disagree on these. And as Bishop would say if he was here, it's their right to be wrong. But I've got these last 2 figured out. It's judgment and eternity. Now, everybody agrees that eternity is the 7th dispensation, but they don't agree on what the 6th one is. But if you look in your Bible and read it, you'll see that before we get to eternity, we are all going to have to go through judgment. You're not going to get around it. If you find a way, let me know. Amen. Because we're all going to stand before the white throne of judgment, the Bible says. The least to the greatest, the biggest person you think that's ever walked this planet to the least, we're all going to stand before him. Can you say amen? Amen. Mercy is not a dispensation of time. It flows through every one of those dispensations. Mercy is not a doctrine, but you can study it and learn about it. But mercy, church, I want you to hear me this morning, it is the heartbeat of God. I want you to think about that for a moment. It is the heartbeat of God. Many of God's promises are conditional. Now you can get quiet, because I'm really going to turn to everybody's favorite two verses in the Old Testament, Malachi 3 and 10 through 11. And we hadn't taken up the offering yet, so I'm going to get in big trouble for this one. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's conditional. If you don't bring your tithes to the storehouse, he's not going to open the windows of heaven. Be seated. Be seated. But we want to jump up and claim, I need a blessing. And sometimes we're the ones that tie God's hands like this. And he's going, I'm trying so hard to pour it out on you. But there's a condition to be blessed. Can you say amen? Amen. In Exodus 20 and 4, the second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. If you don't make graven images and worship them, God promises to show mercy to the thousandth generation to your family. I'll take that one. That gives you the opportunity, long after you are dead and gone, to still have God moving on your family's behalf. That's why every time I preach, I always try to bring up how important what you do today matters, because it's not just about you. And we have a lot of people that we, you know, we debate these scriptures with and talk to our friends about, and they'll come up with these theories and say, well, I just don't believe in generational cursings. They believe in generational blessings, but they don't believe there's a generational curse. That if you do these things and you hate the Lord and you serve other gods and you have graven images, he promises, I'm going to curse your children to the third and to the fourth generation. So it really doesn't matter whether or not you believe in them. The problem you've got is God believes in him, and he's going to keep his word. The best thing you can do is choose to end up on the blessing side of that commandment and not over here on the curse side of it, because it's a condition that he lays before us and he gives us the choice to make. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14 starts off with the if-then statement. If my people... he's waiting on us, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me tell you something about Jesus. The only thing he waits on is the church. In the book of Revelation, what does it say? When the Spirit and the bride say, come, that's when he's coming back. Amen? We think God's waiting on the government to change things. We are waiting on society to change things. And God keeps saying, if my people will pray and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will come and not only heal them, but their land. If you want America to get better, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you and extend mercy into your life, because He is wanting to heal us and the land that we live in. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Mercy is no exception. We have to make a place for it to fall in our lives. Grace is freely given. You don't have to do a thing to have the grace of God in your life. Watch this. Mercy is introduced to us in Genesis 3 and 21 when the Bible says, Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Mercy was introduced when the wrath of God met the love of God. And instead of Adam and Eve being killed that moment for disobeying God, He killed a lamb and made them coats of skin to wear of that lamb. And the judgment that should have fallen on Adam and Eve went to that lamb. And the life that should have been the lamb's to live out was given to Adam and Eve. And mercy was introduced to mankind because God kept His word, and they did die that day spiritually, and they had to make a way to get back to God. But mercy fell on their lives because of a lamb that was willing to be sacrificed for them instead. But that mercy had to have a place to fall. Hosea 6 and 6 says this, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Judaism was radical. Do you hear me? Radical in its time, because it had this theory that how you treated everybody else could affect your walk with God. Jesus summed it up in Matthew 5. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You know, they taught us a lot, Brother Plum at Florida State. They even taught me how to read between the lines. Do y'all know how to do that in Alabama? Because if you don't extend mercy, like it says in Matthew 5 and 7, guess what? "Cursed are the unmerciful, for they shall not obtain mercy." I can't go home and treat my family like garbage and think that it won't affect my walk with God. I can't walk out onto a street and begin to yell and cuss somebody out just because I don't like the way they're driving and expect God to find a way to give me mercy. Amen. There are people who are cruel and claim to know who Jesus is. And there are some people that I know that have told me to my face, "I'm an atheist." I'm going to tell you something about them atheists. They have been the kindest, most generous people I've gotten to know since we've lived in Tallahassee the last 8 years. Grace is receiving something you didn't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you did deserve. You have to find a way to give somebody something they do not deserve. And you know what? It hurts. This flesh does not want to do it. It wants to give them what they deserve. That is what most people deserve. My grandpa always told me there was only one thing I needed that I didn't get in life: a knot on the top of my head. But we don't need to give them our fist. We need to give them this. Because if we give others this, when it comes to our walk with God, He comes to us like this. He's not closed, because we hold the key to what opens and closes His mercy in our lives. Can you say amen? Here's an example of people making a place for mercy to fall. Genesis 4 and 4, Cain and Abel came before the Lord. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Why? Because he brought a lamb. He brought something that God recognized and established with his parents. This is a place where sins can be forgiven. This is a place where the blood can be applied. This is a place that I have ordained and set up and established to let my grace and my mercy fall back into your life. And the other one just went out, dug up some plants, There it is. Take it or leave it. And God chose to leave it. Abel made a place for mercy to fall. God even goes to Cain and says, if you will not do what is right, if you'll just do what is right, if you'll just do that, I will accept you too. Don't think you're just going to come up to God and say, this is all I can do. If it's not something he's asked for, he does not have to receive it. It is not always guaranteed to make a place where mercy can fall in your life. We have to do things the way God designed them to be done to please him. Can you say amen? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God told him, there's going to come a flood upon the earth. You need to build a boat. But if Noah had not been wise and refused the grace that God had sent him and the plans and the directions on how to make that ark, and he would have not made it or made it a different way, there would have been nowhere for the mercy of God to fall on him and his family's life and for them to be saved. He made a place for the mercy of God to fall. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let me offer this thought to you today. I was leading a service in Mississippi several years ago when God kind of just struck me, I felt like, with lightning when he showed me this. But do you know everything in the Old Testament that they did revolved around the tabernacle? Y'all with me? Everything. There was an altar. There was a laver of water. That was in the outer court. And then in the inner court, there was a table of showbread. There was a golden candlestick, and there was an altar of incense. And then past that in the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant and a mercy seat. We get so hung up on the law and on judgment and on all the things they did, but the entire purpose of the law was to make a place for the mercy of God to fall on Israel's life when they sinned. They didn't go to a judgment seat to offer blood for the forgiveness of their sins. They went to a mercy seat to offer forgiveness for their sins. Moses was commanded in Exodus 25 to make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half thereof shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I have given thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. I wish you could get a hold of this today, that God's desire is not to restrict things from you. God's desire is not to keep things from you. God's desire is to not constantly keep you in a place of judgment and condemnation. But the heartbeat of God today is to put you in a place where his mercy can fall in your life, and you will not receive what you deserve, because we all deserve to be put to death. We all deserve to be punished for our sins, but he made a place for the mercy of God to fall on us instead of the judgment that we deserve. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Serving God faithfully, putting him first, keeping his word, loving people, extending mercy, and not judging. That makes a place for the mercy of God to fall in your life. We want so much for mercy to be given to us when we mess up. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. But when we hear about somebody else messing up, are we quick to extend mercy? Or are we quick to extend judgment to them? It's not my place to judge. And I'm going to say this with a smile on my face. It's not your place either. There is one judge who's going to judge us all, and if you think you're qualified to do his job, you're going to come up a little short on your resume. Because his mercy desires for everyone to be healed, everyone to be delivered, everyone to be saved, everyone to experience the blessings and the benefits, amen, that God has put on this earth for us to have. To have a relationship with Him and our fellow man that He has designed and planned for us to have. Can you say amen? Amen. If you're here this morning and you've done absolutely nothing in your life, you don't even know what the Bible really says, you've never read it, you've never done anything like, I just want to do this because I just want to please God with this. You think I haven't done anything to make a place for the mercy of God to fall in my life. Maybe you've had an issue with judging people just constantly. You just think you know everything about everybody's situation. And if they would just come to you, you have all the answers. Didn't get any amens on that. And I'm wanting to lump myself in. We've all thought it. But Jesus went to a place called Calvary. And the same judgment that fell on that lamb in Genesis chapter 3 for Adam and Eve's sin, that fell on Jesus on Calvary. The sins that I committed, my sins, amen, that I have done, my children's sins, my wife's sins, our friends, our relatives, people we haven't even met yet, all that judgment for the world's sins for all time fell on the Lamb of God. Amen. And the death that you and I should have received and the punishment went to Him, and His mercy and His life and His blessings and His righteousness were exchanged to us for all of our unrighteousness. So if you don't have a place today that you can say, I've gone and I've done these things, God, I've made a place for mercy to fall in my life, you can point to Calvary and know that a place has been made for you to receive things you did not deserve, known as the mercy of God. There's 41 times in your Bible that the Lord tells us that His mercy endureth forever. 41 times He mentions that. He wants you to know that His mercy endures forever. You know why? Because we will get the idea that we can go too far. We will get the idea that we can do too much. That He'll look at us and go, that's it. You've reached my limit. Well, let me tell you what it takes to reach His limit. We already read it this morning. You've got to go into the heavens above the earth to find where His mercy runs out for you and I. His desire for your sins to be removed from you from the east to the west is greater than you can imagine. It is His ultimate goal and desire to have you in a relationship with Him like nothing on this earth could ever give you. There is a spot in each of us that God has made that nothing in this earth, it's like trying to put a square peg into a round hole. It may go in and fill a little bit, but there's always going to be an emptiness. But there is a place in your life that only the mercy of God can fill and make you whole. Only the touch of His hand can close that hole and let you know that you have been touched by the God of glory. So let me tell you what sin does to us. It makes us feel unworthy to come before Him. We'll come to church. We'll sit in a pew. And I always like to include the musicians in this. We'll come to the drum set and sit at a stool. We'll hide behind microphones and guitars and basses and keyboards. But we won't come to Him. I saw on Facebook the other day a man that he prayed for me one time and God healed me. Brother Mike Ulmer, he passed away. I forgot to tell you. He was a great man from Mississippi, and he pastored in Texas for many years. And this is not a joke, Brother Dempsey, but he was preaching and he said, you know, he wanted the musicians to come. Well, I was playing the drums. Can't play them like you, but I could play enough to keep a beat. And our oldest son, Zachary, he was obsessed with baseball, and we had been throwing the baseball, and we just went out there one day to throw it, and I threw it, and I mean, I went to my knees. I didn't know what had happened. I just knew my shoulder was messed up, and it had been bothering me for a week or more. And Brother Ulmer stood up and said, if there's anybody here that needs a touch and needs to be healed in their body, come to the front. So you know what I did? I was sitting on the first pew. I walked around, went straight to the drums, and sat down and began to play. And God spoke to my heart and said, I'm here to touch you. It's for you. And you went around it. I put them sticks down and I went and got myself prayed for. And when Brother Omer touched my head, I felt like there was a knot in my right shoulder that just went, and it laid down in bump, 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 three little rows. And I could move and I could throw a baseball again and I wasn't in any pain. And it wasn't until many years later I was talking to our general manager where I work in Tallahassee, and he said, I got to go get my rotator cuff replaced. And I'm like, man, really? He's like, yeah, I'm just playing baseball with my kids. I've just messed it up. And he whipped it around and he showed me a picture. He said, there's three rows of tendons right here that connect your shoulder and your rotator cuff. And I went, that's what God saved and healed me from. He touched me. I told him my testimony. And I said, I just had no idea. But God went in and just boom, 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 laid it out. But this is what we'll do. I didn't think I deserved to be touched that day, because surely there was somebody with more of a need than a messed up shoulder that a doctor in our country could fix easily. But God wants you to feel His touch. Do you hear me? Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you know when you come up to this altar and you come in your prayer life before the throne of God, He is one day going to sit on a throne of judgment, but not today. Do you hear me? He is not on the throne of judgment today. When you come before Him, it is a throne of grace. And He is ready to give you mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. His only desire today is to help you with whatever you are struggling with. His hands can take a load off of your life. His touch can heal a wounded soul and a wounded spirit. His presence can make time stand still. But we get timid and we withdraw ourselves and we go around it. Let me tell you something. If you're here and you're alive today in this sanctuary, He is reaching, and the invitation to come before the throne is for you. I began to think about this verse of Scripture as I was studying. Musicians, y'all can go ahead and come. I'm coming to a close. You don't come before a king's throne boldly. If you've got any sense, you don't walk up to the president, I need to see you. You're going to wake up hogtied like this with your feet in Cuba somewhere wondering how you got there. They're going to remove you from the room. You don't do it today. You didn't do it then. Esther even feared, and she was the queen's wife, when Mordecai, I said, you've got to go before the king or we're all going to perish. She said, I can't. If I go and I haven't been summoned, I'll die. So she made all the Jews pray and fast for 3 days, and he went. And she went before him without being called. And you know what he did when he saw her? The only thing that saved her life was the king extended a scepter towards her. And she came and she put her hand on the top of it. And he said, what is your request? I want you to know today, church, for the last week, I have seen this service in my mind. And I have seen the hand of God with a scepter doing this. Over and over and over and over. There's no judgment here today. Because I'm going to tell you, even the queen had to ask before she boldly walked in uncalled. And God spoke to me and said, there's only one group of people that can go before the king boldly and not face judgment for coming when they're not called. And I had to think a minute, and it hit me. His kids. Could come no matter what was going on, who he was in a meeting with. Just sometimes, just that young, innocent boldness. They just had a need. They just wanted to see him. They just wanted to spend time with the king. We are children, church, of the Most High God today. You don't need an invitation today. The scepter is extended to you today. I love to read the Dake Study Bible. If you've ever read it and studied it, it's an immense volume of notes with the Bible. And he said this in his summation about the book of Esther. Contains no promises and no distinct message from God. The name of God is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. But it has, to me, the greatest message I can give to you today is the king has a scepter extended to you and me today. And if you come to this altar, or you can stand, or you can kneel wherever you are, I really don't care. You can make a place for the mercy of God to fall in your life today. The scepter is extended this morning. Would you stand to your feet right now, church? If you'd like to come around front and find a place to pray at this altar, I think that would be very fitting, because there is a God who is sitting on a throne of grace who has mercy in this house today and grace to help you in your time of need. He's here to give you something you do not deserve today. You're not going to find judgment, but you're going to find love and joy and peace and righteousness. You're going to find all the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit waiting on you. And above all that, there's a hand with nail prints in it that has a scepter today that's desiring just to have a little time with you today, to see and to know about your needs and to let you know how much He loves you and cares about you today. Would you just open yourself today to receive the mercy of God in your life today? Amen. Come on, church. Let's talk to Him for just a little while today.
Praise. Found and I've been. gave me beauty for my guilty stains. And now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise. Oh, that I've been changed.
Church, I don't feel like it's time to close this service. Take for granted sometimes. His mercy. Where would I be without His mercy, Sister Taylor? I don't want to think of that. But because of His mercy, I'm still here today. I could be dead. I've given plenty of opportunity for that. But His mercy stepped in. And it still continues to step in each and every day. His mercies are new each and every day. And I thank God for that, because if it weren't for His mercy, this old boy made a mess of himself. And as Brother Taylor was preaching, I couldn't help but think when he mentioned the Beatitudes, and blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I thought about that game we used to play. Any of y'all ever play Mercy?
Brother Taylor did. I can tell. There you go. But you would interlock your hands with somebody else, and it's usually somebody you couldn't stand. You never called somebody out you liked for mercy. And you would begin to try to twist their hands back in a painful situation. And I started thinking when he was preaching and bringing the word forth. I'm sorry I turned this into a joke. I didn't mean to. But I started thinking, when you're doing that, and I was thinking about what he was preaching about being merciful. And, wow, I just lost my train of thought. But, I'm lost. Well, I never lost, so... But that's where I was going. Thank you, Sister April. No, but I was thinking about, you know, usually mercy is not something that is hard to give toward people you like. But if it's somebody you don't like or that has wronged you in a very bad way, it's a little bit tougher. And that's what I was thinking about the whole time, was that game of mercy. Some names popped up in my head that I played with. And I started thinking, that even though they said mercy, I'd just keep on. I said, wait a second, I can hear you. And I just keep on. But I don't know why I'm saying this, but sometimes that's when it's hard to show mercy. Is when it's difficult to show mercy to somebody that you don't want to show mercy to. People can hurt you, especially people you let get close to you. And it is very difficult to show them mercy sometimes. But it's beneficial to you, and it's most beneficial to you, really. And I was thinking about that. It's hard, Brother Taylor. So I don't know. It could just be me. I've never really had a hard time forgiving somebody too much. There's been a couple, if I had to be honest. And I think Sister Knowles knows a little bit about this. I talked to, and I'm not trying to keep y'all too long, but I talked to a pastor about it. And when my dad passed away, it's going to get a little personal, but I knew who took his life, and I had to forgive that person. And I thought in my mind, how can I forgive somebody that took somebody away from me? But I thought to myself, that lady, she still got a soul, and she still deserves just as much as anybody else to be saved. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go to hell. So really, the things that people do to us, they may be serious, very hurtful, but it is not worth holding on to. No matter what it is, it doesn't matter what it is, it's not worth holding on to. And sometimes forgiveness, it's tough, but all the time. I don't know why I said all that. If you're holding on to something, I guess, let it go. But I thank God for His mercy and His grace. Let me pull this up. I think I got an announcement to make, and I'm not good at remembering stuff. Y'all already witnessed that. Y'all can sit down if you want, if your legs are tired. There it is. All right, so the only announcements were midweek service, obviously, as always. It'd be Tuesday, and there will be an Easter practice on Saturday, February 28th at 10:30. This is for all the kids and youth and any adult who wants to be involved. That is Saturday, February 28th at 10:30. Mark it on your calendar. And that was the only announcements. Amen. We need to take up an offering. Yes, sir. Elijah, you want to help him out?
Just pray, Lord, thank you for your word that has gone forth, O God. Lord, as we're about to take up the offering, I pray that you bless us and keep us, O God. Lord, I pray that you continue to multiply everything that we give to you unto you, O God. Lord, continue to give us grace, continue to give us mercy. Lord, I pray that our offering will speak on behalf of us. Lord, bless us and keep us. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Time flies, doesn't it? I was thinking the other day, I saw a picture of Bailey with Elizabeth and Elijah on the couch playing around. I mean, they could barely walk. And now she's up here singing. That's crazy how time flies by. I remember when I used to have hair. I feel like I'm too young not to have hair. Let it go. I ain't got a choice. But let's go ahead and pray in dismissal before I embarrass myself. That's very hard for me to do. I don't get embarrassed easy. But Lord, we thank you for your word today. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness on our lives, Lord, that's been bestowed time after time, God. We thank you for each and every one that was in service with us today. I pray, Lord, that you would continually bless them, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each and every one that wasn't with us in service today, that you would bless them as well, Lord, that you would look over them and put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, Lord, as we make our way to our next destination. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen.